The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jam-packed we are on this Wednesday as we continue live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase, Greeny, and Dominique, and Kmart, and a cast of thousands with a lot of football conversation. Let's roll it. Hour number two starts right now, and we're getting up with Angry Aaron. The MVP is not holding back. You need to hear all of this, and you will right off the top. Then, big trouble for Big Ben. We're in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers' season slips away. We've got the insight on all the injuries and what they mean. Plus, is this devastating 1-2 punch the combination that finally leads to a knockout for the Cowboys? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now in Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers bounced back big Monday night after laying an egg week one against the Saints. Then yesterday, he went on the Pat McAfee show, his usual appearance, and had all of this to say regarding all of the outside noise after week one.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus. I don't think I need to pin myself on people who aren't worth spending time on. I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities and then believe that they have this platform to, you know, use it to say whatever the hell they want. I think that's the state of the media that we're in.
Okay, so there's obviously a lot there to unpack. What is that sound you just made and why?
Aaron is pissed and I love it. I love it. I live for this. You know why? Because it's real. Yeah. It is real. So many times we cover athletes who are just saying, oh, yeah, great, yeah, okay, good, man. No, tell me what you really think. And Aaron, this year, what we've seen, the Scorch Earth Tour, he doesn't give a crap about anything. He's going to tell you his truth. And that is all that matters in his world. And you know what? I can relate to that. I can relate to being really nice and polite, but I could get real petty too. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with it too. I just want him to take the next step and start naming names. But because he's right. He's right. No one can psychoanalyze him if we are not him. Yep. We're not his doctor. He's right about all that. Anyone who's saying he wasn't fully prepared or he wasn't fully invested in this season, like, you're taking a bit of a leap based on the fact that he said he might want to get traded. Lots of players say that. So he went out there and he cooked. He's been cooking for his whole career. So if he feels like he needs to point fingers and call people afterwards, more power to him. It's his right to do it, just like it's our right to criticize him when he doesn't play well.
One of the names that we assume he may have been referring to is JerMichael Finley, his former teammate, who was on ESPN Radio last week and had some disparaging comments about his mental preparation and his focus and all that. I don't know that that's specifically what he was talking about, and clearly he sounded like he was talking about more than one person. Tim Hasselbeck, let me throw this at you here, because, yes, to question a player's desire and mental desire, all that kind of thing is on some level unfair. But I don't think it is unreasonable, after a terrible performance week one, to ask the question, this entire offseason they just went through with all of the drama and all of that, did that have some impact on the way he and the team played in week one? You can't answer it necessarily, but I don't think if that's what he's referring to, I don't think it was an unreasonable question to be asking last week. Tim, what do you think?
No, asking the question is fine, Greeny. It's when someone answers the question and says, yeah, they played terrible because Aaron was vacationing all offseason, or he's already retired and doesn't know it yet. Like, answering the question is the problem. And let's just be honest, guys. Like, a lot of people answered that question as if they, you know, were living in Aaron Rodgers' house, like they somehow knew it. I think the other aspect of it is this. One game, yes, the opener, and so there's a lot of attention on it. But let's just remember that Aaron Rodgers, over the past three seasons, and I keep repeating this because it's absurd, 99 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions. No one has ever done anything even remotely close to that. But in that sample, you have a game last year against Tampa where he throws for 160 yards, zero touchdowns, and two interceptions. You have a 2019 game against the 49ers in San Francisco where he throws for 106 yards and their offense scores only 8 points. Like, nobody back then was saying, yep, Aaron Rodgers, like, you know what he is? He's focused on State Farm commercials. Like, to me, it's not fair to do that to somebody off of one game.
So Dez, let me set the stage for you here. What is your perspective on all this?
Well, it always bothers you more when some sort of criticism comes from a coworker or a teammate, mm-hmm. someone who you've been kind of close with, you know. So I understand why Aaron said what he said. I love this version of Aaron Rodgers. We want our, you know, favorite players to give us something of substance. And, you know, Aaron has an extensive vocabulary, you know, kind of like Dominique. As a matter of fact, I would love to see Aaron and Dominique in the Scripps National Spelling Bee Contest. So when Aaron uses four-letter words, then you know he's being real, he's being genuine, he's being authentic. And he loves to take that negative criticism and switch it up on you. It's almost like emotional photosynthesis. All of that negativity you guys put out there, that negative energy, he absorbs it. And then in Aaron's brain, once it hits his brain, you know, he has that I can guess host Jeopardy brain. Once it hits that, it starts a complex process of converting that negative energy, Dominique, into something very positive. And what do we get when that happens? We get a magnificent performance like we did in that Monday night game where Dominique, he was throwing balls that even if you walked up to the receiver and handed it to the receiver, it wouldn't have been more accurate. I love this version of Aaron Rodgers.
I've seen Aaron Rodgers do that a number of times. Unfortunately, I've seen it up close and personal. So I know what you're talking about as far as Aaron Rodgers being special. We all know it. No one disagrees with it. I'm happy he's coming after people, but it's kind of part of the game. And maybe he's saying that the game shouldn't be like this, but when you play badly, people speculate. Like, that's what we do. Part of the reason why the game is so popular is because of all of this psychoanalysis that we do, because it makes a storyline that makes people want to tune in. So, you know what can make the storyline even better? If the guy who we're talking about start talking back. So keep doing it. Keep throwing touchdowns. Call people out. Like I said earlier, all I want is you to start pointing fingers and name names like you did at that press conference before the season started. Go ahead and call people out. That'll make for a much more fun show for all of us.
I will say this. I think emotional photosynthesis is my new favorite phrase.
It is.
Not only because it just rolls off the tongue so delightfully, but it actually is a perfect explanation of a phenomenon that we have been talking about a lot lately. These athletes, and Michael Jordan, we all saw it in Last Dance, his ability to absorb all of this, and sometimes in his reality, create a lot of this negativity and turn it into something positive. And Kevin Durant is a guy right now who I think is doing a lot of the same stuff.
It's another thing that we don't pay much attention to that's changed about the modern sports world and the modern sports dynamic is like you have to be mentally tough, you have to be physically tough, you have to be strong, you have to be smart. We never talked about this fact that the media has jumped to this new level where we're all media and they consume it. If you grow up in a world where you are a digital native like a lot of these people are, they can say, yeah, I don't read anything. Yes, you do. You go on Instagram, you go on Twitter just like the rest of us, and you consume that. And your ability to take that in, and we can talk about guys like Ben Simmons in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Your ability to take that in and then put something positive out to grow, become greener, even though these harsh things are beating down on you, like that is a skill that Aaron Rodgers apparently possesses and all-star players going forward are going to need to.
That's right. Ben Simmons
Dominique, I tell you what. Listen, if they keep taking shots at him, believe me, he will start naming names.
Good.
Be careful what you ask for.
I'm in a great position that I can shoot at Aaron Rodgers, and you know who's got to pay for it? The cornerbacks that he's gonna pay next. He's gonna play next week.
That's
not me.
That's
I just come up here and say, Aaron Rodgers, man, he's soft. And then I watch the game and say, damn, he's good.
Yeah, right now. The whole secondary meeting in San Francisco watching this show.
Oh, they're
angry at us.
All right, that's that situation. Let's go to another one, and this one is a little more normal. The Steelers are banged up. They got a problem after 2 weeks, and it starts with that guy, their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, who's got a pec injury. He was sacked twice and hit 10 times by the Raiders last week. Here's Mike Tomlin with more on the status of his quarterback.
That could affect him from a preparation standpoint. Don't have an idea how much as I sit here right now, but we better be ready to be adjustable and deal with that.
Mike, did you feel like Ben Roethlisberger took too many hits in that game?
Yeah, he did. He took too many hits. We can run the ball better. We can get the ball out of his hand quicker. We can stay on schedule and not get behind the sticks.
All right, so clearly a lot of problems. We went live to Pittsburgh earlier this morning. Brooke Pryor covers the Steelers, told us that Ben will not practice today, but warned us not to read too much into that, that he frequently doesn't practice on Wednesdays. So we'll see. Tim Hasselbeck, is Ben Roethlisberger just getting hit too much? Is this a, can he make it through the season if this continues like this?
Yeah, he can make it through the season, but I think we'll see him on the injury report every single week. One thing I didn't like about it, Greeny, and I'm pretty sure Dominique can, you know, identify with this. I certainly can. Ben says he doesn't know when he got hurt. Like, that isn't what happens to you when you get older. Like, you wake up and you're like, I pulled my hamstring, but I have no idea. All I did was go to sleep last night. Like, I did not like to hear that. That being said, like, I think that it's a combination in terms of protecting him. The ball needs to come out quicker. He held on to the football a couple of times when he didn't need to. They need to run the football better. But I also think we're focused way too much on Ben. It's about kind of this entire team, how they're coached, all of that, for the Steelers to go where they want to go at this stage of Ben's career.
Yeah, I'm nursing a back injury from last night's night of sleep. So I know exactly what Ben is talking about.
But in his case, he got hit so many times, he's not sure which one of them is the one that hurt him. I think that actually kind of tells the story of the problem.
It does tell part of the story of the problem. He's getting hit a lot. Ben Roethlisberger's always been someone who holds onto the ball for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's not Drew Brees. He's not precision, hit your back foot and let it go. He's kind of a guy who buys time, takes some hits, and that takes a toll eventually. And with this offensive line combined with him losing his physical ability, like, he was always a very physical quarterback. He's not that anymore. And it's hard for him to succeed in this system as he is currently constructed.
Kimberly, I feel like we're kind of dancing around, or at least I am, asking the question, is it over? I mean, what we've seen, and he's a Hall of Famer, is it over right now? Is it a wrap with this version of the Steelers and this quarterback?
So I don't want to say it's a wrap because we're only two games in. But this was what, if you're a Steelers fan, this is what you feared in the offseason by sticking with Ben and not saying it's time to hit reset. Because now you're dealing with him, he's a year older. You're dealing with the same offensive line issues. You've got a great, shiny running back, but yet you got no running game, a consistent running game. And I brought up this stat in the previous hour. Over the last two seasons, 41% of their drives ended in a punt. A punt. You know who was worse? Only one team, the New York Jets. Offensively, that's an issue. So when you look at all these things in totality, I don't want to say the Steelers are done, but that's what makes Steelers fans worry.
Nobody can ever say the Steelers are done because Mike Tomlin has
proven
that they're never completely out of it. So I'm scared, just like when I said Tom Brady was getting old, Mike Tomlin has proved that they don't need to have a super talented team to be successful. But the problem is they do have a super talented team.
Mm-hmm.
Their playmakers, super talented. That defense, full of talent. The problem is when you get closer to the ball, that offensive line and that quarterback is where the issues lie. Sadly, that's the most important position in sports, and they don't have an answer right there. Their quarterback is dropping back, and he looks like maybe he's looking at the defense, but maybe he's looking into the eyes of Medusa because he is stiff. So stiff, you can't win like that.
And oh, by the way, TJ Watt is hurt also, and we don't know just how seriously, but that's the most important player on their defense. So right now, bleak. After week two in Pittsburgh. As we continue, we've got rookie report cards on this year's freshman class, plus progress reports on how their teams are handling their development. I have a lot to say. Plus, Tom Brady is the GOAT. 10 Super Bowls, 7 Lombardis, but could this be the best team he's ever had? We'll answer that question as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and our quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck, is handing out rookie report cards today. Let's start with Zach Wilson. Tim, what grade would you give Zach Wilson so far this season?
Greeny, I hope we can still be friends after this. I'm giving him a C minus. Maybe he probably deserved a D plus. I'm giving him a C minus, though. He just hasn't protected the football well enough for them to be as competitive as I think they should be. I think there's just been too many opportunities, been careless with the football. And I think that's probably where I've seen the biggest area where he needs to improve.
That's fair, but we'll come back to it. How about Trevor Lawrence? What grade do we give him?
Yeah, I'm giving him a C. That might be a little bit low. There have been moments where you see, you know, a far hash throw down the field where you're like, wow, he looks really, really good. That being said, there are some other moments where just understanding the situation of the game, right before the half where he forces the football, turnover that leads to points, those kinds of things are what you want to get rid of. That's why I give him a C.
And then Mac Jones, how about him?
So I'm going to give him an A minus, and it probably could have been an A, but I think the biggest issue for Mac is I don't think that he's really surrounded by great talent in terms of the receivers in New England. I think his decision-making has been really good. I think he's played well enough to give his team a chance to win both weeks. And so, you know, for that reason, in your first two starts as a rookie to give your team a chance, I think A minus is a very fair grade.
Okay, I'm with that. So let me dive into this with you a little bit here and bring the guys in on it as well. And if we just take the juxtaposition of Zach versus Mac, which was that big rookie game this past Sunday in which Zach Wilson, look, he threw four interceptions. No one can argue with what you're saying. But I think what was on full display is the extraordinarily different way in which they are being developed here. Mac Jones is being asked to do very little, comparatively speaking. The Jets have just thrown Zach Wilson to the Wolves. They coached that game, in my view, Tim, and I would defer to your expertise, like he was a 10-year veteran and said, go out there and start throwing 25-yard passes against this defensive genius coach who always terrorizes rookies. In the meantime, Mac Jones is checking it down and being smart and not turning it over and all of that. So I'm not suggesting that your grades are not reasonable, but to me, the circumstances seem totally different. If you watch the way they are being utilized this year, Tim, how does that impact everything?
Oh, look, that's the key determining factor, I think, in terms of how quarterbacks turn out, is how they're being coached and how they're being developed. Look, that's why so many people said, wouldn't it be great to go get coached by Kyle Shanahan? Hey, isn't it great to be coached by Andy Reid? Wouldn't it be fantastic to play for Sean Payton? There is no doubt that, you know, how you're developed is a big part of, you know, how you turn out as a quarterback. You know, that being said, I think when you look at it, Mac Jones, because of how he was coached in college and what we're seeing in the pros, he's going to be quicker to check the football down. Like, there's a saying, you don't go broke taking a profit. Like, there's a reason why guys like that have success. And there's a reason why guys that are forcing the ball down the field in the small windows often find themselves getting into trouble. So, yeah, Greeny, that assessment is fair. And I think that's part of what, especially with Zach Wilson, you've got to coach out of them. And you've got to coach that out of many players when they come into the league, especially when they're really physically talented, to be able to know that, hey, now's not the time to try to do that. Take Trevor Lawrence as an example. Week one, I think like just outside 2 minutes, he's backed up and he tries to force an in cut that's 18 yards down the field when there isn't anybody within 7 yards of his back that's right underneath it. Those are the types of things that lose football games and have people evaluate quarterbacks and say they're struggling. And right now, Mac is not doing that, and some of these other quarterbacks are.
I get it, but to be fair, neither Trevor Lawrence nor Zach Wilson were guys who were turnover-prone in college. So that part of that is what they're being asked to do and the schemes that they're in right now. Let me get Desmond in on this. I'm sorry, Tim, I didn't mean to cut you off. But Des, you obviously know all these young quarterbacks as well as anybody, having watched them in college and scouted them leading into the draft. What is your sense of the way they're being utilized right now and the way they're performing?
I think Mac Jones is being utilized the way that's going to best represent his talents based on what they saw at Alabama. You don't want him to do too much. You don't want to put too much on his plate. And he's a guy who's going to make quick decisions, get the ball out of his hands. And that's the type of offense they want to run with him. He's tailor-made for this style of offense and exactly what they're trying to do with the New England Patriots offense. Zach Wilson is a guy who came in as a gunslinger. He's a guy who at BYU, he was throwing the ball all over the yard. incredible arm strength, incredible arm talent. So they're trying to utilize those strengths. But at the same time, you have to develop him to a point in a slow, as a slow process where he's understanding the speed of the game. Greeny, what's happening right now? These guys aren't used to the speed of the game and going up against the best athletes week in and week out that they've ever seen. So once the game starts to slow down for them, especially Zach Wilson, then I think you'll see him settle down and start to be the quarterback that the Jets fans hoped he would be when they drafted him.
I use this phrase all the time. More young quarterbacks are ruined than developed. And I will be honest, I am terrified of what I've seen so far with this offense through 2 weeks.
You're right about that. It's not a coincidence that many of the best quarterbacks in the league right now were people who came into good situations were allowed to grow into their into the players that they are now, where they can carry more of a load. But the problem is, when you look at what the Jets have, they don't have a choice. It's like they're like the Roots. You got one rapper, Black Thought. You can't ask other people to rap.
No.
And I'm saying the other teams, like Mac Jones, they're more like the Beatles. You can pass it around. A bunch of other people can contribute. So
I understand that. But that was by choice. I mean, the Jets decided to do that. Look at the Bears. They won't put Justin Fields on the field right now if they don't think it's in his best interest. For the Jets don't even have a backup quarterback.
It's not. I mean, I guess it's by choice, but it's also not by choice. It's not their fault that Questlove can't spit. Like, that's the situation that they are in. You can't hand the mic to anybody else. When you go backstage, you look around, Black Thought's the only lyricist you got. So let Black Thought go out there and throw the ball all around the yard. That's all you get. That's your only choice.
This is what frustrates me. I'm trying to argue with you, and I don't know what you're talking about.
That's why I threw the Beatles in there. I threw the Beatles in there for you. Black Thought is for Dez. I'm trying to make everybody happy. I don't know what Hasselbeck listens to, but I'm sure between one of those two things, he can grab onto something.
I'm telling you right now, the Jets quarterback has thrown interceptions on practically every pass and leads the league in being sacked. Nothing you say is going to make me happy under any circumstances. All right, we'll have more on this as we go. Tim, I promise I will let you chime in again. But coming up, are the Bucks good enough to chase an undefeated season? We'll tell you why the next 2 weeks will make all the difference.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and let's go on the clock with some more overreactions heading into week 3. Dominique, the 2-0 Raiders, if I were to say the 2-0 Raiders are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs right now, are you buying or selling that thought? Go.
Oh, I'm selling that thought. I like what the Raiders are doing. They've gotten better. But the biggest threat, I think, is Cleveland. We saw what happened in week 1. But I do like where the Raiders are headed. But
how about in the division? If I had narrowed it to the division.
Yeah, in the division, I think the Broncos. I like the Broncos a little bit more than them. As long as Teddy Two Gloves is healthy, I like that defense. I think the Broncos are going to be the toughest out with all those playmakers that they have on offense.
And you didn't even mention the Chargers, which to me is the team. I actually think the Chargers are the biggest threat to them in that division.
Derwin James. We're not talking about him, but he is fantastic. Yeah.
They just got shut down by the juggernaut that is the Dallas defense. Kimberly, to you. The Bucs are in L.A. against the Rams this weekend. Buy or sell that the Rams are the biggest threat to the Bucs in the NFC?
I might shock Dominique, but I'm going to say sell. Why are we overlooking the team that has made the conference championship the last 2 years and fallen short? Why are we now? It's been 2 games. I see the QB upgrade, but I think we need to wait and see, pause a little bit before we go all in on Rams in the Super Bowl.
You're saying Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Packers. Even in their own division, I actually think the San Francisco 49ers are a better threat.
The Saints, personally. Too. Like, the Saints outplayed them a couple times last year, and they have what we believe the upgraded quarterback.
We'll see. Green Bay gets the 49ers this week, so that should be a very interesting game. Tim Hasselbeck, I'm coming to you. Tom Brady has 9 passing touchdowns through the first 2 games of the season. Are you buying or selling that Brady is going to break the record, which is 55 this year? Go.
I'll buy it. He gets an extra game, you know, so we add that in there. He's playing for a head coach that would like to be part of that record being broken. And so because of that, and just look at the way that offense operates and all, quite honestly, like the touchdown catchers that they have in that offense, you think of Gronk's history in the league, Godwin, Brown, Mike Evans, like they're built to actually break that record.
Now we'll see. So Tom Brady just adding to the list of ridiculous accomplishments, but they face an interesting juncture in their season right now. And I want to sort of stop down on this for just a moment, because in the next 2 weeks, the Bucs are going to Los Angeles to play the Rams. Our analytics say that's the only game this year they're not favored to win. Mm. And then they go to New England, which is a game you might hear a thing or two about
kind of
in the build-up to it, which obviously, whatever you may think, and again, you see FPI thinks it's pretty much a toss-up, but whatever you think, that obviously that game will come with a whole lot. If they get through these 2 weeks unscathed, Dominique Foxworth, then do we start talking about the unbeaten season? Do you believe that those two things go together?
We absolutely start talking about it. It becomes a storyline that we push going forward and we celebrate. We talked about it before the season started, that I think that people thought it was possible that they could get it done. I don't think they're going to get it done just because we see what happened. We saw what happened with the Packers last week.
Mm-hmm.
You lay an egg every now and then. You hope that you can overcome it. We saw bad decisions are made in key situations sometimes, like we saw with Dallas. They were able to overcome it. At some point, they're going to lose. They just hope it's not going to be.
Let me reframe the question to you then. Will it come in the next 2 weeks? Will they lose to either the Rams or the Patriots?
Yes. I think in these 2 weeks, their defense hasn't quite coalesced just yet, and the issues that they have in the secondary, I think that one of these teams, either very well-coached teams with a lot of talent, one of these teams will find a way to exploit that, score enough points, and maybe even with the talent that they have on defense, the Rams can slow down that offense and outscore them.
So you're leading Rams versus Patriots as being the one that knocks them off?
Maybe.
Okay, that's two maybes today.
You said 2 weeks. You gave me 2 weeks.
Kimberly, how about you? What, these next 2 weeks?
Thomas. His name is Dominique Foxworth.
Right.
He's the one that does not believe in
right.
you. No, I actually see them winning the next 2 weeks because I don't know why you guys bring me on the show to ask me anything about Tom Brady. This man, I will not say anything bad about Tom Brady because he defies logic. He really does. And I think I didn't need the last 2 weeks to... I didn't need to see him win in LA or beat the Patriots to confirm that they could go 17-0. I think this is a roster that is stacked. I think this is a coaching staff that's been together. I think Tom Brady, he's capable of doing what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, which is to run the table, get to the Super Bowl, and win it.
That's a good point. Thomas Edward Brady Jr. has been known to use emotional photosynthesis to take any negativity
so
and turn it around.
If he calls you out in a press conference, I will not be shocked.
Yes, it's Nikki's going to be mad at, not Kmart.
That.
How about you,
so
Tim?
Happy.
Do you expect them to stumble, either of these two super high-profile games?
I don't. I think the Rams is the best opportunity for them to stumble. I don't believe that they will. Granny, I said prior to the season, like the coaching staff in Tampa believe that, like, they feel like it's like a Pro Bowl roster. Like, everywhere you look, it's like, look, we could be in Hawaii practicing for the Pro Bowl. Like, that's how good they think their team is. And they actually, prior to the season, were like, could Brady have the best year that he's ever had? Some of them went back and looked and said, I don't know that he's going to have that year that he had with Randy Moss and those guys. I don't know that he'll do that, but man, he might be close. Like, that's how they felt about it coming into this thing. And there's nothing that's happened to make you feel like that still can't happen. Now, I will just say this. I know you didn't ask it, but like, I think trying to go undefeated is a bad thing. I think the pressure it ends up putting on your locker room is an added pressure that's significant that some guys, probably not named Tom Brady, won't react to as well as somebody like Brady will react to.
All right, we'll find out. Again, this is that's an interesting thought, and this is a remarkable juncture. Again, the Rams, that's the only game our analytics don't favor them, and then they go to Foxborough. More on that as we go. In the meantime, college, number one Alabama, surviving a scare in the swamp on Saturday, holding on to beat Florida 31-29 despite being a 2-touchdown favorite. Bama gets Southern Miss this week. That'll be followed by Ole Miss and Texas A&M. Both those teams are ranked in the top 15. The Tide remain the overwhelming number one team in this week's AP poll. Georgia stayed in the two spot. Clemson, Ohio State rounding out the top 10 as the only one-loss teams amongst this group. And earlier today, we talked, as we bring Heather and Paul back into the conversation, we talked about the vulnerability, perhaps, that we're seeing in Alabama that we have not seen in recent past. So right now, Heather, who's your first four? Give me the top four teams in the country, according to Heather Dinich.
Well, until proven otherwise, Alabama is still number one. Then I have Georgia, and then I have Oregon. Number four is where the change happened, Greeny. Penn State, to me, deserves that fourth spot because I don't see anybody else through 3 weeks who has a road win against a ranked team in Wisconsin and then a huge win against another ranked opponent from the SEC in Auburn. Plus, with their resume, you take the eye test. Not a lot of teams are passing the eye test right now. Sean Clifford morphed into version 2.0 of himself. He was insanely good. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, highlight reels all over the place. Their secondary was tremendous. They looked like a contender. Now, whether they can keep it up and stay in that spot remains to be seen.
Okay, but that's fair. That's where they belong right now. Now, I want to pause on that because I want to play Greg McElroy. Paul, this is from your show yesterday, right? Greg McElroy was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday. You asked him about Penn State, and he was talking about them if they were in the SEC being a middle-of-the-pack kind of team. Here's a little bit of Greg.
Right now, I would have Penn State finishing fourth in the SEC West, and that would say, well, hang on a second, what? They're number 16 in the country. Understandably so. And on a neutral site, I would pick Alabama ahead of them. I would pick, at this point, Ole Miss ahead of them. And then I think it would be a toss-up between A&M and Penn State.
So, Paul, what was your reaction when he said that?
Well, I was a little surprised, but he went on and added that he thought they would be third in the SEC East behind Georgia and Florida. So, Greeny, there's no way to make Penn State and the SEC work. Now, there's a difference between where you rank in the SEC and whether or not you can get to the playoffs. And in the Big Ten is not the SEC, not exactly breaking news. So I think they have a decent path. Ohio State is a troubled team right now. We're still waiting to learn more about Michigan and Michigan State and Iowa. But they certainly have a path to get to the Big Ten championship game right now.
That's fair. Desmond, I'm interested as a Big Ten alum. I'm interested in your perspective. Greg McElroy says Penn State would be a middle-of-the-pack team in the SEC. What do you say?
Well, Greg is a very intelligent young man with a high football IQ. But sometimes, every now and then, Greg gives you one of those head scratchers. You're like, what's the logic? It doesn't even have you seen these guys play? I don't agree with Greg. I think that Heather nailed it. You know, what they've done so far this season has been tremendous. They've earned a lot of respect. I understand Greg was talking about neutral site games, but the way that they handled Auburn at home, this is one of the best teams in the SEC. Bo Nix is a veteran quarterback. I thought they did a great job despite some very awful calls by the officials in that game, too. They still were able to prevail and come away with the W. So I have a little issue with what Greg said. I think that Penn State is a team that will be much higher in the SEC East or the SEC West.
All right, fair enough. One more thing I want to get to today. Heather, I was following this on your Twitter feed yesterday. This is a very important day for all college football fans. Tell everybody why.
Well, Greeny, the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick are meeting in Dallas today about the 12-team proposal to expand the college football playoff. And it's important because next week the presidents are supposed to meet and may or may not vote on whether they approve a 12-team format. And Greeny, there are so many issues right now. Not only the presidents might not vote next week, they might not go. There are questions as to whether or not they can come to an agreement today as to whether they can get past these issues. I'm talking about big issues like the Rose Bowl, like the schedule, like the slim possibility that they could play 17 games. And there are people in that room who still want to consider an 8-team format. I can tell you right now, if they have automatic qualifiers and they want 8 teams, Notre Dame is not going to vote for that. The SEC is not going to vote for that. And if they have 8 teams that are just the best 8 teams in the country, no Group of 5 commissioner is going to vote for that. So they're hashing out issues today. Can they get past them to come to a conclusion next week in Chicago when they meet with the president?
Paul, how do you expect it to play out?
Just like she said, and this is an absolute disaster for college football, Greeny. 3 months ago, everyone agreed, we're going to expand, we'll have a couple of meetings, we're going to 12, and it was the best thing for everyone. And because of the Oklahoma-Texas deal, a lot of people have gone crazy. The commissioner of the Big 12, who was part of this, is a big reason why the Pac-12 and the Big Ten want to protect the Rose Bowl, and this will really hurt college football, especially for the Pac-12, who desperately needs an expansion of the playoff.
Okay, yeah, interesting there. Heather will be following your coverage of this all day long. It is a big day. I have to leave it there, but it is a very important day. We'll see how it turns out. Meanwhile, College Game Day this week, live from Soldier Field in Chicago, ahead of Notre Dame, Wisconsin. It begins 9 Eastern on ESPN. And on the ESPN app. Coming up, the Cowboys, they locked up their franchise quarterback. They got a two-back attack. They have an improved defense. Is this finally the year it all comes together? We've got the answer to that. And
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and I want everyone to understand what exactly is about to happen here. So Dominique is in on Tuesdays with us, and on Tuesdays, Jeff Saturday has his feature about great blocks.
Exactly.
And then Marcus Spears has his feature about sacks. And I think I just show up to work this morning, and all of a sudden, I think Dominique's ego has said, well, we need something for the corners out there, and so we present Neek's Corner.
So you're welcome, Mike, to make your show better, because sacks and blocks are not nearly as much fun as watching corners and DBs have a good time. What do we got first? I think it's Mike Graham.
Mike Edwards.
I'm sorry. I'm mixing up plays. It's Mike Edwards sitting in zone coverage right here. The first of 2 pick sixes, which is outstanding considering that I never had one. Well, I had one except Suggs blocked in the back. That man. Got called back. But this man right here sitting in zone jumps on it, takes it to the crib, and deserves to celebrate even though the ref didn't like the way he celebrated on the second one. But yeah, that is fantastic. I love any time DBs get in the end zone. The second one we got is Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Now this play, when you see a new quarterback come in, you know what you yell? Fresh fish on the line, let's eat. Jalen Ramsey saw them put in a rookie quarterback. He saw the stack alignment, anticipated against cover 4 that they were going to go to the scissors route. And everyone knew this game was over except for Jacob Eason. Don't throw it 5 if you want to stay alive. Last up, DJ Graham. Oh, this is from college. The guy at the Oklahoma Sooners. He goes from the right corner all the way to... I'm sorry, Mike. There's nothing to be said for that. I feel like me talking over that makes it worse. And let's look at it. Lord, that is incredible. I know it was 4th down, the play right there. Maybe some people would say that you batted down, but I say make a play.
It's one of the most spectacular, obviously, plays that we've ever seen. Little known thought on that. Did you know that his own coach challenged that play? Because to your point, it was 4th down, so they lost whatever it was, 15 yards. And so his own coach, the coach of the kid who intercepted that, Lincoln Riley, challenged it, trying to get it overturned so that it would not be an interception.
I don't care how smart Lincoln Riley is, how good of an offensive coordinator is. I tend not to want to call for people's jobs. But if you want to nullify that, the booster should be up in arms. Get that man out. They were up by a bunch, 4th quarter. Let that man have that. That's
It is one of the most spectacular looking plays that you've ever seen. That is Neek's Corner, which we'll bring you every week just to satisfy the colossal ego of my friend, Mr. Foxworth. In the meantime, let's go to another thing that you've been wrong about today, and that is the Cowboys. They upset the Chargers on Sunday behind, among other things, nearly 200 yards rushing. Tony Pollard had 109. Zeke Elliott had 71. Here was Jerry Jones yesterday talking about Zeke's contract.
Well, you don't in terms of the ultimate decision. You do what makes the first down, or you do what gets the most yards or ultimately wins the game. Facts are that we really have an outstanding situation here. Pollard gets up on him so fast and can really surprise defense. He's stronger than he looks, but he just has got such a burst. And then Zeke, you know, he's as powerful. His burst, I mean to tell you, he punishes the hell out of those defenders. Both of those are going to be a real staple for us as we get into the season.
So that's great. And it is worth pointing out again how much money Zeke gets paid, because that's always a factor in things. But generally speaking, I mean, all I heard coming into the season was the shape that Zeke was in and all that. Is this a two-back offense now? Is this no longer a team that the running game will run through Zeke?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a two-back offense, and I think it probably should have been last year. Honestly, I think nothing's wrong with paying a guy a lot of money. But then you have a problem when you start to let that determine how you're going to game plan and how you're going to play, which I think happens quite often. It seems like you want to give your lead back the first crack at it, but you put more weapons on the field, that's never a problem. You find more ways for people to produce. It preserves your players deep into the season, and it helps Pollard get better because injuries happen. All types of things happen. So there's nothing bad about having more good players.
Here's what I'm about to say, Tim Hasselbeck, and I can't believe I'm saying it because I'm always the one who is the Cowboys questioner. I made the joke a million times. They're the best team in the NFL in July and August all the time, and then the problem is the season begins. Through 2 weeks, I have been enormously impressed, Tim. That defense is obviously markedly better than it has been. The two-back attack is effective. They've managed through some adversity on that offensive line to hang in there, and Dak has emerged as a legit great elite NFL quarterback. I think this is the year they finally got it right in Dallas. Tim, what do you think?
Greeny, I mean, they've looked great. I mean, I think everyone, or at least I, expected them to be really good on offense. Now, I didn't expect a timeshare in their backfield, but I expected them to be good on offense, and they've been good on offense. Like, look, week one, we saw Dak have 58 pass attempts, and they were moving the football. Week two, we saw a balanced attack, and they ran the football, called nearly 30 runs, which I think is a good thing for them. The question mark has always been the defensive side of the ball, and look, I think it's too early to say who they are defensively, but I don't think there's any question that there's been really encouraging signs on that side of the football. Namely, you get to week two, you don't have either of your projected starters at defensive end, and so you put your middle linebacker, who didn't play football last year, at defensive end, and he plays as well as anybody in the NFL at that spot a week ago. So, look, I think there's a lot to be excited about, and I think we're starting to feel like there are some questions being answered on that side of the football.
Kmart, here's what I would say. Tim just said we don't know what their defense is. Here's what I can tell you. I think we know what it isn't. It isn't the worst defense in the sport anymore, and that's what it looked like last year. So I am bullish. I'm all in on the Cowboys.
Wait 1 minute. Now Greeny is bullish on the Cowboys.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Did you and I not sit on this set many a time?
Yes.
And you talked about Washington.
Yes.
And I said, well, you know, the quarterback situation in Washington makes me a little skittish. You know, I trust Dak and I trust Zeke.
Right.
And you're like, no. Washington is that team.
Right.
And now you're telling me you are bullish.
Well, that statement is no longer operative that I made over the summer. In fact, I'm going to respond to you I'm going to respond non-verbally, which is an outstandingly effective thing to do in television. Here we go. All in on the Cowboys. I'm all in.
You got the accent? How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? I mean, they're for real. They're legit.
Look at this field turn. This is like Hulk Hogan.
They've played two great offenses so far, Dominic. They played the Buccaneers. They're going to score on everybody. They played the Chargers. They held them down like crazy. That Cowboy defense is going to get better as the season goes on. That coach is outstanding. They got the two-back attack. Dak is a legit MVP candidate. I can't even see. Dak is a legit MVP candidate. I'm telling you right now. How about them Cowboys? I'm in. I'm all in.
You should have been in from the beginning.
I was on the fence, but you got me sold.
Let's go about them Cowboys.
Oh my gosh. These
Yeehaw. Kids. What do Cowboys say?
Does anybody on this set besides me have conviction?
No, we do. Like, did you not hear it? So I don't understand what's wrong with change your mind. That's not a bad thing.
No.
We watched two games this season, and we're like, hey.
It's just a rare genius
them boys is good.
That I have that I could have told you.
Tim Hesselbeck, jump in here on this.
Listen, with what's happened in Washington, first off, that looks great on you, Greeny.
Yes, I mean, thank you.
In some ways, it's hard to think about anything other than that. But I would say, like, look, I picked before the season Washington to win the division. I didn't think that Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to get hurt the first week of the season. Uh-huh. As you look at it now, they were an epically bad defense a year ago, Dallas was. We thought their offense would be good. Their offense is good. Defensively, if they are not epically bad, then they probably end up winning their division. So, yeah, in that sense, they're a playoff team. Put that cowboy hat. If I have one, I grab one right now.
Yes, I've got the hat on. I can't decide if this thing is supposed to go in the front or the back. I don't know the cowboy etiquette. But
I don't think
I'm working
cowboys' hats normally have strings.
All right, we're running low on time. First Take is coming up top of the hour here. Oh, Stephen A. is going to love this. Are they going to talk about this? Stephen A. and Kendrick will talk about Ben Simmons and all the mess. Doc Rivers going to join them live. Don't miss it. First Take coming up right after we wrap up right here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, y'all, that's all the time we have for Get Up today. As what do you think? How about them Cowboys?
You look
on
like
the bandwagon.
You look like Billy Crystal from City Slickers. Watch out for Curly. Hope he doesn't have a heart attack.
Pretty good. First Take is coming up. We'll be back in Better Never Tomorrow. Y'all come back now, you hear?
How about them Cowboys?